Hello, this is Pastor Robert from Esterhazy Baptist Church in Esterhazy, Saskatchewan. This message is for the week of October 24, 2021. The message is from Ephesians chapter 4, verses 17 to 32, and it is entitled Unity Through Our New Identity. The call to worship is taken from 1 John chapter 1, verses 5 to 7. This is the message we have heard from him and declare to you. God is light, and there is absolutely no darkness in him. If we say we have fellowship with him and yet walk in darkness, we are lying and not practicing the truth. If we walk in the light as he himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. Amen. We are continuing in the Apostle Paul's letter to the Ephesians. As we have seen, Ephesians chapter 1 to 3 describe the incredible plan of God's grace. It leaves no one out of the offer of forgiveness, eternal life, spiritual blessings, and adoption into God's family. Ephesians chapter 4 begins to explain how we should respond to God's amazing grace. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 17 to 32, builds on what Paul has urged us to do at the start of this chapter. Chapter 4, verse 1 says, live a life worthy of the calling we have received. In this verse, Paul identified himself as a prisoner for the Lord. Clearly, he sees self-sacrifice as being worthy of our calling. In today's passage, a life worthy of the calling Christ Jesus has given us involves a discarding of behavior resulting from our sinful pasts and choosing behavior reflecting our new nature. In Ephesians chapter 2, we see that God has given Gentiles the same opportunity to receive Christ Jesus' grace and forgiveness as the Jews, and that the two groups have become one, the body of Christ. Gentiles do not have to become Jews in order to become Christians. However, in chapter 4, 17 to 32, Paul reminds his Gentile readers that this does not mean they can continue to live as they once did. Ephesians 4, 17 to 19 shows the downward spiral of sin that causes alienation from God. While it may begin in secret, it leads to an ever-decreasing sensitivity to sin and concern for who else it may hurt, to the point where you don't care, you just want to get what makes you feel good. Doesn't matter what it costs or how it hurts anyone else. Now the good news is that anyone who responds to God's whisper of redeeming love can leave this life of sin behind them. This is what Paul reminds his readers of in verses 20 to 24. When they met Christ and the truth of Jesus' love for them, they were taught to put off the old self. This is describing what we were in verses 17 to 19. It's the old garment we have discarded. Paul writes, put on the new self, created to be like God, in true righteousness and holiness. Tony Merida, in his commentary, notes that in this phrase we hear echoes of Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. Then God said, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. He says, God made humanity in his image, but sin entered the world at the fall. Now through Christ, We are recreated in His image. When we put on Christ, we put on a new person. This is from Exalting Jesus in Ephesians, the commentary. Paul is saying, since this is what has happened to us, apply it. Put away sin practically, daily, and continually. In verses 25 to 32, Paul shows us the power to change comes from God, and that we are to live out our new identity in Christ. Notice, these exhortations are relational, and our relationship with Christ should change the way we live in community. Paul wants us to see that our sins affect others negatively, just as our righteousness will bless others positively. So first of all, in Ephesians 5:25, we read, therefore, each of you must put off falsehood and speak truthfully to your neighbor, for we are all members of one body. So we are being called to replace lying with truth-telling. In verse 25, replace lying with truth-telling. We are to stop pretending to be what we are not, beginning with honesty in our speech. Beginning with therefore, Paul now gives examples of how our new self, created to be like God, is to interact within the body of Christ. Each of you must put off falsehood and speak truthfully to your neighbor. That phrase, speak truthfully to your neighbor, is inspired from Zechariah chapter 8, verse 16. The Old Testament prophet, Zechariah. Paul adds to the prophet's command that we are to do this because now we are all members of one body, God's family, the church. Our choices impact the body we now belong to, Christ's body. In our physical body, if our senses are sending us incorrect information, sending incorrect information to the brain, you touch something hot and it tells you it's cold, we would say something's wrong. We are sick. False or misleading words hurt the whole body. Truth strengthens unity. Therefore, we are to speak truth. Secondly, we are to replace unrighteous anger with righteous anger. Verses 26 and 27 say, in your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you are still angry, and do not give the devil a foothold. Our emotional life is also to be submitted to God and ruled by the Spirit of God. Unrighteous anger is self-destructive. It's out of control and leads to a host of other sins. Righteous anger is a holy anger directed against sin. In these verses, Paul lists three things necessary to guard our anger, or guard that our anger is holy. First of all, do not sin. Guard your motives. We are defending an offense against God, not ourselves. Secondly, resolve the problem quickly. Don't let it fester, or bitterness will grow. Thirdly, seek forgiveness and reconciliation quickly. For Satan uses anger as an opportunity to sow divisiveness, which damages the unity within the body of Christ. As William Barclay in his commentary says, the longer we postpone mending a quarrel, the less likely we are to ever mend it. So true. The third thing Paul says we are to do, verse 28, replace stealing with working and giving. Replace stealing with working and giving. Verse 28 says, anyone who has been stealing must steal no longer, but must work, doing something useful with their own hands, that they may have something to share with those in need. Our new life in Christ is also to be practical and includes our behavior. Two of the Ten Commandments are designed to maintain community and call for the respect of private property. Stealing was rampant, and Paul tells Christians to resist this temptation and to replace it with the satisfaction of doing some useful work. Notice that Paul also redirects the purpose of work from simply focusing on self-interest, which can become an obsession for some of us, and he reminds them that now they will be able to share with those who genuinely need assistance. This nurtures community as we look out for one another. Fourthly, verses 29 and 30, we are to replace corrupt talk with edifying talk. Replace corrupt talk with edifying talk. Paul writes, "Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption." The word translated wholesome in the Greek means rotten, worn out, unfit for use, worthless, bad. Why would we use such useless words in our conversations? Jesus in Matthew chapter 12, verses 34 to 37, tells us that the words which come out of our mouths reflect the condition of our heart, and that we are accountable for those words. He writes, or it's written in Matthew 12, 34 to 37, "You brood of vipers, how can you who are evil say anything good? For the mouth speaks what the heart is full of. A good man brings good things out of the good stored up in him, and an evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in him. But I tell you that everyone will have to give account on the day of judgment for every empty word they have spoken. For by your words you will be acquitted, and by your words you will be condemned." These words of Jesus tell us, do not take what comes out of your mouth lightly. It is telling you about your heart, your true nature. Therefore, we need to evaluate our speech. What is it you focus on and enjoy discussing? And we do this not so that we can fake it when we're among other Christians, but to ask the Lord to help us, help you surrender to Him and fix it. Evaluate what's coming out of your mouth, because it's a reflection of what's in your heart. Rather than unwholesome talk, we are to speak helpful words, which are thinking about the person we're talking to, which benefit those we speak to. Isn't that what Jesus would do? And we are His body, representing Him. We are also reminded that unwholesome words grieve the Holy Spirit of God, whom dwells within the body of Christ, the temple, and identifies us as God's own. We see here, it's another reminder, the Holy Spirit is a person whom we hurt when we use words to tear down rather than build up. This reminder alone should call us to carefully appraise what's going on in our heart when unwholesome speech is coming out of our mouths. Replace corrupt talk with edifying talk. Finally, in verses 31 to 32, we're called to replace bitterness and rage with kindness and forgiveness. Paul writes, "Get rid of all bitterness, rage, and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you." Verse 31 describes behavior and actions that divide and fragment the body of Christ. The Amplified Bible really fills in any blanks that we might have had. It says, "Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor," and then it defines this perpetual animosity, resentment, strife, fault-finding, "and slander be put away from you, along with every kind of malice, all spitefulness and verbal abuse." What is the antidote to such natural tendencies which spring out of our old nature? It is to remember the love and grace extended to us as God in Christ forgave we prodigals. Think of Matthew 6, 12 and 14 and 15, where in the Lord's Prayer, Jesus teaches us to pray that we are to ask that the Lord would forgive us as we forgive others their sins. And then in Matthew 18, 21 to 35, the story that Jesus tells about the unforgiving servant who was forgiven a huge amount but then wouldn't forgive his fellow servant a relatively small amount. And his master doesn't take kindly to that. Remember the love and grace extended to us as God in Christ forgave us, and respond with kindness and compassion to others. The Amplified Bible continues in verse 32, "Be kind and helpful to one another, tender-hearted, compassionate, understanding, forgiving one another readily and freely, just as God in Christ also forgave you." Amen. The Apostle Paul began chapter 4 by calling us to live a life worthy of God's calling, including our determined effort to guard the unity of the body of Christ. Remember Ephesians chapter 4 and remind yourself, this is my responsibility as a member of Christ's body for our own good and for the good of the body of Christ. We are to examine our hearts before God and remove those things which damage unity and replace them with things that reflect God's presence within us and also build up the body of Christ. As we do that, then we will live lives worthy of the calling that we have received from God. Amen. Let me close with the benediction from 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 11 and 14. "Be joyful, grow to maturity, encourage each other, live in harmony and peace. Then the God of love and peace will be with you. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen." Lord bless you. Thank you for joining us today.